You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown, and you've landed on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to talk lawyer stuff, but don't let that panic you because it's not the really, really boring stuff. There are some really interesting angles on real estate law. Rebecca Larson is here to share some expertise and some crazy stuff. You're going to enjoy the conversation. Tune in. I'll see you on the other side. So thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have an actual attorney on here because I know if anybody sees the crazy shit in real estate, it's in your side. Look at you, just could close your eyes. You're like, girl. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I get the extra flavor of it's not just like what goes on during your transactions. It's what happens after all of the crazy shit that you get to deal with.
So tell us, where are you located? How long you been doing this? And how did you land in real estate as a legal specialty? Because I mean, it's not always the most exciting version of law.
It's totally not. So I'm Rebecca Larson. I own Your Home Legal. It's a California real estate law firm. I'm also licensed in Virginia and DC. How I started in real estate law was a total accident. I think like most things in life, it was an accident. So I got a phone call about 12 years ago from a friend of mine in law school who said, I'm going on maternity leave and I need somebody to do real estate closings. And I was like, I don't even know what the words are that are coming out of your mouth, but it's anything is better than this. I was sitting in a room with no windows doing doc review for 14 hours a day, which if you don't know what that is, it's literally staring at a computer, looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of pages that are produced during litigation. So yeah, exactly. That's basically the look, the glazed over eyes. And yeah.
I bet that means you could read the text of these giant bills that come out of our legislative body up in DC, couldn't you? The 2,800 bills that nobody else reads. You know how to do that.
Yeah, we do that. We do that for fun because we're lawyers and we're weird. And we get a little twitchy when we do it. That's how it started in Virginia. And it's like half the states are like this, where your real estate closing goes through an attorney's office. That's what I was doing. Basically doing the closing, working up the loan packages, working up the closing packages, realizing that I actually really enjoyed this whole process. I really liked working with the agents and like strategizing how to fix their issues, fixing the title problems. If you like history, you would actually really, really love real estate law.
Oh, then I have to tell you about one I'm working on right now with Habitat in my hometown.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot. And then it was given to us by a local person who didn't need these lots. We were going to build a new affordable house on it. And there's this little sliver of land where at some point 100 years ago, the road was cut through. So it got left over there. And the deeds show it in like 1890. And then shows up again in like 1921, mm-hmm. owned by developers who are so defunct now that there's no way to do any kind of title tracing or do any kind of, I mean, there's like, nobody could possibly have ownership of this. The city's going to have to condemn it so we can build on it. But just the idea that you have to go back to deeds in the 1800s trying to
You go back, you can go back even farther. So Virginia is actually a really cool place. for that historical part of it, because it goes back all the way to the king's land grants, like the King of England land grants.
They meet some bounds in Virginia.
Yeah. Virginia's meets and bounds, which are, for the technical tie, 115 degrees northwest, 3 degrees south, whatever. Or my favorite, I was working on a project where the guy had about 450 acres. He was using it as basically his own private hunting reserve. And reviewing the survey and the legal description for this place is hysterical, because this property is old. And the descriptions are like, to the old oak tree next to Mr. Johnson's fence post. And just like, Mr. Johnson's been dead for 300 years. And that fence post is long since gone. So the history side of like legal real estate and legal descriptions is a lot of fun, because it also tells the story of that property, which I like. It's like, I nerd out on that stuff. So that's how I started in it. And then I was doing some litigation as well. When my friend got back to work after she had her baby, I started doing the litigation side. So we were doing trust administration and probate litigation and some commercial litigation companies suing other companies. So it was fun. But then the partner died and I took over that practice, the real estate practice. And I loved it. And then I came to California.
That's an entirely different paperwork and closing situation than Virginia, isn't it?
It is. And in most other states, I mean, it's like half the states use attorneys, half the states don't. California is one of those states. They don't use attorneys, and they don't use attorneys in any part of the process, which I find hysterical, because it's the most expensive real estate in the country next to Hawaii. It's the most litigious state next to New York, and nobody hires attorneys to make sure that they understand what their contract says before you run into those landmines, right? It just, I don't understand it.
It just seems to me like realtors would want to have an attorney in their back pocket and tell their clients, I know this is not normal out here, but you kind of need to talk to a Rebecca, because strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
I want to bring people like you to California to introduce you to the agents here, because that's mostly not the response that you get when you start talking to agents. They're like, why would I ever refer my client to you?
And I was like, why would you ever not? Oh my gosh.
Well, how important is your license to you? You know, I mean, there's a fine line that people walk on what you can say about your contracts, but they're written by lawyers for lawyers, right? So unless you have a law degree and you're barred in that state, you can't give legal advice. So,
but don't you love getting an offer or an executed contract with something scribbled in the margin? You're like, who wrote this? Oh, I wrote that for my clients. Where'd you get your law degree? What law degree? No.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting out here. And I'm sort of trying to pave the way in California for people to actually start hiring lawyers. And if it's just to review your contract, cool. Like, you're a more empowered buyer or seller now, because you know exactly what's in your contract and how it applies to you.
And that's a good thing. Education is good.
Yeah. But the bigger thing, when you want to talk about crazy shit in real estate, like, this is where it really happens, is making one decision. And it is the most important decision that a buyer is going to make when they're buying real estate. And that's how to own the property with somebody else.
Oh, I'm so glad you want to talk about this.
I do. It's my favorite thing to talk about.
And it's good, because North Carolina, where I practice primarily, is a community property state. And so is California.
Same with California.
And I love it when a nice little, we're in love, we're going to buy a house together. One day we might get married. I'm like, oh, we better talk, sister. Oh, brother, we better talk, because you fixing to own half a house, whether y'all ever put a into it together or not. But sure, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to tell us, first of all, tell us a story about a situation that you saw. And then I would really love if you give us some mama hen from Rebecca. What do you say to people when they're like, I'm in love? Because I frankly think that's where most of the issues come in. And you probably agree. Yeah. It's always going to be rosy, people. Oh, okay. Well,
nothing's ever going to happen. And I'm like, so it's my job. Positive. It's my job to say, you know what, listen, I know things are really wonderful right now, but let's be real. Half of the relationships in this country end in divorce. You're not even married. So let's be real. And especially, like, most of my clients are professional women. And that's just because we attract like. So, like, those are my people. And they're coming in and they've got a shitload of money. And it's like, do you really, really want to lose this money to some schmuck? Because that's what's going to happen. I had a woman. She owned like 7 other properties relocated from another state to be with this man, and she's going to pay off the mortgage on the condo that he lives in. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hold your breath. And I was like, are you really sure you want to do that? She's like, I don't know if we're going to get married. And I was like, then I really don't think you should be doing this. I was like, what happens? And she's like, well, and we're still not sure about how we're going to hold title, if he's going to add me the deed. And I was like, think about this. Why are you going to drop six figures? She was looking at dropping about $250,000 to pay off his mortgage.
Are you serious? That much money? So we're not talking like 10 grand to finish out the note.
It was about $250,000 to pay off his mortgage. And they were still not sure if he was going to add her to title.
I said, dude, how do you even have that conversation? Are you having supper? And he says, hey, babe, pay off my condo. And I'm not sure if you get to own it. How does that happen, Rebecca? That's unhealthy. It's so unhealthy.
It is unhealthy. Right. And like, then that's part of it is when you're working with an attorney, we get to spot all of the other crazy ass things that can go on in your life. Right. Because like, I'm always looking at the other side of it. It's not just real estate. Owning real estate is one thing. Buying real estate is another thing, but your entire life matters every single time you buy or sell a house.
You say that again for the people in the back. Oh my gosh. And that's also going to be the title of our episode, where it's not just the real estate, because you just said that so perfectly. In fact, Rebecca, that's your book title when you go to write a book about stuff. Holy smokes. Did y'all all listen to that? Hit rewind and listen to that amazing pearl of wisdom right there again. You just, girl, you are on it today.
Thanks. But I mean, this is the conversations that I have with my clients. If they want to talk about real estate, we're talking about not just real estate. We're talking about, okay, have you been married before? Do you have kids? Do you have a prenup? Do you want a prenup? And they're like, why are you asking me all these damn questions?
This is so intrusive. I've been told
it's so intrusive. Oh yeah. And I'm like, I'm real upfront. I was like, listen, we're going to get real personal. You're going to tell me some stuff that you probably don't want to tell me, but I'm your attorney and it's my job to ask you these questions. Because your agent can't, right? They can't, and they shouldn't. There's no reason for them to ask these questions unless it's to refer them to somebody else, because they know that this is a red flag. And it's not
the source.
Maybe orange. Let's call it an orange flag.
Well, I like that. But you're the source of the source, realtors. You have to have a Rebecca, an attorney on your team. And when you ask, hey, y'all got a prenup, and they say yes, you're like, bring the lawyer in. No, we don't have one. Why are you asking? Bring the lawyer in.
Well, and you ask, yeah, we have a prenup. Why does that matter? Okay. It matters because your prenup probably tells you how you have to own property.
And you signed a prenup. That means it's probably going to be relevant to any situation.
Literally everything you do.
Anything.
Right. So it's making sure that everybody understands what's what, whose money goes to what, how do you get paid back when you break up? Here's the crazy shit one. So this is an after the problem. They've already done all of the things and then they call the attorney.
Your favorites.
My favorite. Guy buys a piece of property, $500,000 property. It's like chump change out here in California, right? Buys a $500,000 piece of property, has a really sweet girlfriend, has a really sweet girlfriend's mom. They pressure him to add her to title because it's the right thing to do.
The girlfriend or the mom?
The girlfriend.
Okay, make sure I add mom too.
Nope, thank God not mom. So there's a couple of things. The first thing is that it triggers a tax reassessment. They don't know that. They get surprised by a supplemental tax bill. And they're like, why did that just happen? Well, because you added someone that's not your spouse to title. So half of his property was reassessed. Fun times. Now here's where it gets real fun. The relationship breaks up. She won't sell the property because she wants half the equity in the house, which is about $184,000.
Smart girl.
Yeah. Smart girl, smart mom, right? They're really shitty people. Right? They took advantage of this poor guy. He was a dummy for not asking the right questions or getting the right people to say, are you really thinking about this? He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought this relationship was going in the right direction. I'm going to use a Beyonce quote, put a ring on it, right? Put a ring on it. Because in California, like in North Carolina, it's a community property state. What's yours is yours before you get married. That was his before they got married. Unless he answered a title, and what's yours and mine are ours during our marriage. So the poor guy's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, do you have the cash to buy her out? No. Can you refinance? I don't know. Probably not. Okay. Well,
like you're selling the property.
You're stuck. You're either stuck or you have to get her to agree to sell it and then you can split it up, but you need to have an agreement before you do that. you have to have some sort of written agreement that says she's getting X dollars if it's anything less than half, or if it's more than half. Because what happens if you break up and you can't agree to sell it, or you can't buy the other person out to get them off title? What happens? Guess where you're going, and guess how much freaking money you're going to spend doing a partition action. And you're like, what the hell is a partition action? It's when the court decides they can either literally cut up the property, which doesn't happen for most single family homes or condos or anything like that, but they'll order the sale of the home. You have no control over any of this. And you're going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on the other side of it and deal with all the emotional crap that you're going through with breaking up.
So you know what would excite you? North Carolina, our realtors have finally gotten some traction in our legislature for a Uniform Partition of Heirs Act. We're so excited to finally get this thing straightened out so that people won't be in trouble with their properties. Very excited.
Oh, that's interesting.
I can send you the...
Send it to me. That sounds really interesting.
You'll like it. Listeners and viewers, you won't care about this, but if you're a super nerd, you totally reach out in the show notes or send us a note, but I'll send you that elsewhere. All right. So what would you tell people? And I'm really asking you to give legal advice, but the generic structure of things in most states. Now, I mean, my listeners are all over the U.S. and in several countries, but if in general you're in love with somebody and you're planning to go buy some real estate, which is for most people your largest financial transaction and
ever,
only going to get more expensive over time, what do you tell them to ask? What should they consider? How can they title things from the get-go if they're not married? Is there something that's a general set of guidelines people could follow?
Yeah. So the first thing is go talk to an attorney.
A real estate attorney, right?
Or you could do a real estate attorney or family law attorneys might also be a good solution too, because they're used to doing prenups. So for unmarried people, you're looking at a cohabitation or a co-ownership agreement, which is going to say, okay, Lee, you're contributing $20,000. Rebecca, you're contributing $20,000. We're both putting $20,000 into the purchase of this property. If our relationship ends, and you know, you and I could just be friends buying an investment property, right? Or we could be
beach houses together, mountain.
Right. You could be two families that are buying the beach house together. Whatever it is, you can have a co-ownership agreement that says, this is what happens when our relationship ends. I get my $20,000 out plus whatever, anything improvements that I did, payments towards the mortgage, whatever you guys want to work out. And you can also identify what are the triggering events. What is it that can get me out of it? Maybe you relocate to the other side of the country and you don't want to own this piece of property anymore. Okay. So you can negotiate anything into that and do it before you buy the house. That way, the second you own it,
contract probably, right?
Well, if that's what you're considering, yeah. Do it either right before or during the process so that you have everything the second you close. Everybody knows what's what. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is, how do you own the property? For people who aren't married, there's really only two ways that you can own it: tenants in common or joint tenants. And they have two very different outcomes. Joint tenants, if one of you dies, the other person owns the whole property all by themselves, which means if you just bought this sweet ass investment property or anything and there's equity in it, your family gets nothing.
Right, so regardless of each individual will, this lives outside of it. The states.
Yeah. One of my favorite phrases in real estate law is title drops like a rock. So the second you drop, your title drops. So if you have joint tenancy, it's joint tenancy with the right of survivorship, meaning the other person or other people basically absorb your interest and that's it. The other side is tenants in common, which means if you die, whoever inherits it based on either your will, your trust, or the state, because if you don't plan, that's another conversation we can have. Not planning. Someone's going to decide who's going to own that property with your other partner. So there are things to consider. And in California, nobody's talking to anybody about how to hold title. They get a one-page form from their escrow or settlement company that has all of the different options and they say, check the box.
Seriously? That's all they're getting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty frightening.
It is. Yeah. I mean, they bury in their escrow instructions, consult an attorney, but it's buried there and nobody's actually telling anybody, go talk to an attorney about this. Because this is where we get to talk about your whole life matters to this. Because if you've got kids from another relationship, whatever, like we got to get your estate plan in order too.
So let me ask you a question about this. Yeah. A lot of people hear this and they're thinking, okay, I'm getting my money out. The market keeps going up. Markets mm-hmm. don't go up forever. You've been in the business long enough to know that we are always going to be thinking about the fluidity of the market. So what if somebody owns a property together, they put those little rules in place where one of them wants to separate and get their money back out, but the market has declined. What happens then? Does the person who's left with it, they still have to pay them out at the same rate? Or how do these things work?
Yeah,
I think that's a big opportunity for trouble that people aren't considering right now because we've been going up for the last
right because we've been going up, 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 up. Right. But if you go back, like look at 2008, let's just pretend 2008 happens again. You bought a house in Southern California, $875,000. It tanks. Now you're down to 600. You've lost $275,000 in equity. How do you pay somebody out if there's no equity to pay them?
Right.
You're on the freaking hook, or okay. you're stuck holding the property with them.
And look, right? y'all, that's something you've got to consider. And I know that right now we're recording this in August of 2021.
Yeah.
There are people out there in real estate that will tell you the markets always go up. And that's probably because they've only been in real estate since about 2017, because we have been in a recovery mode and in an escalation mode. But markets are fluid, and what goes up does either go sideways or down. We don't know when or how much or whatever, but you've got to always plan for all of the possible outcomes. And that's what Rebecca's talking about here. And that's why attorneys matter. Their whole job is to say, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. Here are some possibilities. And if nobody's giving you real estate advice that includes negative outcomes, you need a different real estate professional and real estate attorney and real estate whomever, because anybody you talk to should say, look, pros and cons is the old Ben Franklin approach. Everything has pros and cons. And so I want to talk about.
Can I follow up on that part just a little bit?
Yes,
so it's not only just pointing it out, it's also giving. So these are the pitfalls that you're potentially facing, right? But these are also ways that you can navigate around it. These are ways that you can plan to avoid those problems. Like, yeah, there's a gigantic red flag over here, but we could make it less bad by doing these things over here. So it's not just doom and gloom. These are all the bad things that can go wrong in real estate. Because you can plan around almost everything.
So I got to ask you a question. You've already mentioned the fact that divorce is obviously very rampant in today's society. There's no stigma attached to it. People get married, they divorce, they move on. Things happen. However, one thing that I run into quite frequently is that when people are in the process, there's a time frame between filing and divorce. And while people are in that legal separation phase, many of them want to go ahead and buy real estate, keep the kids settled, stay in the school district, whatever. So one of my questions as their realtor is, do you have a free trader agreement? Can you talk a little bit about how people need to plan for that? Yeah. I guess we'll call it purgatory phase between being married and being fully divorced, and what they should think about and what questions they could ask.
Yeah. One, talk to your divorce attorney, because they're going to be the keepers of the keys on what you can and can't do during your divorce. They're going to tell you, you can't do this with your money. You can't do this with your kids. And yeah, like having somewhere stable to live with your kids or by yourself, right? That's really important. But making sure that you know what money can you spend, that is one of the biggest things. Because if they're going to go back, and I don't practice family law, but just in general, want to talk to your family law attorney to make sure that you're using the right money when you're going to do this. And making sure that you're not doing anything inadvertently stupid that says you're going to end up giving something to your spouse. So you're in a community property state, which means you also recognize that it's a separate property. You can have separate property. What's going to happen though, is that if you're not actually divorced, you may need the consent of your spouse in order to relinquish their interest on that property because you're still technically married.
Y'all hear that? This for real, we've seen this happen. Somebody said, but we're legally separated. So I went and bought a house. You're mm-hmm. not done yet. So that person, well, the phrase I like to use is it takes one to buy, but two to sell. And so if you bought right. it in your name because you got a mortgage, that's cool. But if you're still legally married to that person, they're going to have to sign it. And if y'all are the happy, we're good in mediation people, that's delightful. However, for a lot of people, it starts off that way. And then it winds up in the, now we both got our own lawyer space. So just think and plan. And that's why you have professionals. Okay. So Rebecca, before I let you go, tell me the one most important thing that you think people should consider that they rarely ever crosses their mind.
How to hold title. That's the one question every buyer should ever ask. And it's a referral for every buyer's agent to send it to their trusted real estate attorneys, is that my client needs to know, how do I own this piece of property? That's it.
And realtors, that means if you don't know how to ask that question because you're thinking joint tenants with right of survivorship, you didn't know what JTROS is, you need to call your favorite real estate attorney, go to lunch, and let them explain these things to you so that you can at least ask a question and then put them in the hands of somebody who has a law degree and can ask more questions. Rebecca, how can people reach out to you if they're California, Virginia, DC, they have questions, they'd like to connect with you? What's the best way for them to tap into more of your expertise?
Yeah, hop on my website, yourhomelegal.com. There's a contact page. You can submit a web submission. We're on all of the social media channels, all of them at Your Home Legal. Drop in our DMs. We're here. Also, if you're not in California, Virginia, or DC, and you need resources, I have a pretty wide network of attorneys for real estate and estate planning and family law, whatever you need. So reach out and we can connect you with the right professionals.
So you're the source of the source, just like we told all of y'all, you need to be the source of the source. And by the way, all of Rebecca's contact information, all of her handles, everything's in the show notes for this episode. So if you're over there sweating to the oldies, listening to this, don't worry, everything's there. Rebecca, thank you for coming on the show and chatting with us a little bit about things that need to be considered, because it's not just about the real estate. And I love that.
It's not just about the real estate.
I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time, friends. Make sure you give 5 stars, leave a review, share this with a realtor buddy. And if you want to show up on the show or you've got a topic you need us to talk about, reach out and we'll hook you up. See you next time. As always, I am so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.